Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Carrie Stambo, an Elliott County resident and Kentucky native who just won an Emmy. Congratulations, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Leanne.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about your show because I didn't even know you had a show. And it was like, you're on my Facebook with an Emmy. That is very cool. So tell me a little bit about Downstream.
Okay. Well, Downstream, we're actually a paddling and a drinking show, I like to joke, because we're all about Kentucky's liquids. So I do the paddle portion of this show, and my co-host Kyle Lake, who's also the producer and director for Prosper Media, does the kind of spirits portion of the show. Mm-hmm. So each show we pick a waterway in Kentucky, and I will interview a guest about the history of it, the commerce that took place on it, maybe its, natural heritage, that kind of thing. And my co-host will pick a winery, brewery, or distillery and take a tour. So we're kind of marrying all of Kentucky's liquids together, in this really cool kind of travel adventure show.
I think it's interesting that, especially for bourbon, they talk about how it's the water of Kentucky is what makes bourbon so special. So the show idea is very interesting that you can hit both at the exact same time.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that. In fact, we just wrapped filming this week in Bowling Green, which is kind of the center of Kentucky's kind of cave and karst landscape. And I interview a geologist who works there at their cave and karst studies. So that was kind of bringing it full circle. And he talks about, this wonderful layers of rock that we have and this soluble limestone, which is what makes our water perfect for bourbon. Mm-hmm. So it is really kind of a fun show. It's a great way to educate folks just about the watershed and the importance of protecting it, in the context of, hey, we have this huge signature bourbon industry.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned watershed. That's something that here in Moorhead we've been talking a lot about. And in Lexington, it's something that people are talking a lot about because all of a sudden we have flooding. And in places that have never flooded before, and that's because industry has built up and cities have grown so much, and everybody just spent so much time just paving. And so the storm runoff comes into the creeks, and the creeks aren't able to hold on to that. And I guess that's probably something that you see a lot of when you're filming, because you're paddling on these creeks.
I am. In fact, it's been a difficult couple of years to try to film because we have had so much water. We were filming a show in Frankfort last year, and we'd started filming in the fall. We had to break and come back and finish it this year because we just had so much water. And not just the water, but the fact that it has, calved the sides of creeks in, so you have all this debris in the water. Mm-hmm. You get all this yucky stuff that gets stuck on some of the dams. So it's been a big mess on Kentucky waterways lately. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to finish my book because of that, too. The weather just did not cooperate. We've had lakes and rivers that have been at record levels at odd times of the year, and then they've stayed at these record levels for records amount of time. Mm-hmm. So we've just really been inundated lately.
Now, I think the last time you and I saw each other in person, we were both working in print journalism, and I'm curious how you went from print journalism to filming shows about paddling in Kentucky and Kentucky's water.
Well, I actually still work in print journalism. I've published these two books that are Falcon guidebooks, the Hiking Kentucky and Paddling Kentucky. And then my day job, I'm managing editor for Bridges in Portsmouth Metro, which are published by the Gallagher Group in Ashland. So I joke, I have three jobs.
Right.
But the Downstream TV show really came out of working on that paddling guide. The guys at Prosper Media, Kyle was looking to do this show. He kind of had a focus group together and was putting some ideas together. And I was simultaneously working on putting my paddling book together. And I had been talking to different groups, paddling clubs, the Viking and the Bluegrass Wild Water Association, kind of gathering what should be in the book. Mm-hmm. And someone who heard me speak at one of those meetings was on Kyle's advisory board and said, hey, you should talk to this girl. You should ask her to come out and do this TV show. Mm-hmm. So they asked me to come out, and we shot a pilot back in 2016, and it went really well, and pieces started falling in place, and you know, we've been working on the show now for 3 years. We've aired 8 episodes, and we have 2 that are in production. So it's all happened really fast, you know, and to win an Emmy with only 8 episodes done was just incredible. I think we never expected it to happen.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, I mean, like, if I want to watch the show, where can I find it? I want to make sure my listeners know exactly where that is.
Well, it does air on KET 3 times on Mondays, KETKY at 2:30 in the morning, 11 a.m. and 7:30 at night. But you can also stream it at liquidkentucky.com.
Okay.
So all the episodes are up there. They're free. And we independently produce the show. Prosper Media is an independent organization. And then we give the content to anybody who will air it.
Right.
So in addition to it streaming live, you know, we're always looking for other public access channels, anybody who owns a TV channel who'd like to run it. Mm-hmm. It's there, and we'd be thrilled to get it out.
I feel like this is something that a lot of people in Kentucky – so often we don't really realize what we have in our own backyard. There are people who have, as a Kentucky native myself, I've never visited the bourbon trails. You know, I've never gone to the distilleries, although I do enjoy bourbon. So that's one thing that I would like to know a little bit more about, because some of us don't have the opportunity or the time really to hit those places. And then for, you know, tourism right now, doing kayaking, hiking, those sorts of things are huge. There are a lot of people all over the United States who are really into this sort of thing. So this show particularly is an opportunity for that.
Absolutely. Recreational paddling has been exploding in recent years. I mean, people who keep those numbers say it's up at about 110%. You know, you can buy a kayak at Walmart now.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
people are really getting out there. But yeah, there is new stuff we discover with the show all the time. The very first winery, commercial winery in the country, was in Kentucky
mm-hmm.
back in the 1700s. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had a cask of wine from this winery for his inauguration.
Wow, that's yeah. interesting.
You know, we find really cool stuff for every show, and we get to take a look behind the scenes, you know, at the wineries, at the breweries. You know, our craft beer industry is really exploding in Kentucky too. Mm-hmm. And we go out and talk to these folks. And a lot of them are just young entrepreneurs
right.
who are starting these businesses.
Yeah, we have one that just opened up here in Moorhead.
Absolutely. So. We're hoping we can come film a Moorhead show soon. It would be perfect with, you know, the musky capital of the world on
absolutely.
Cave Run Lake. And then we have a brewery here. You know, so, and we're really flexible when it comes to liquids. You know, we're hoping to do a show in Northeast Kentucky, too, and we may highlight the maple syrup farm in mm-hmm. Louisa because it's a liquid.
Right.
You know, Ale 8 is also a unique Kentucky liquid, so we're really flexible about that.
Yeah, you can't get more Kentucky than Ale 8, I don't think.
Nope.
Well, tell me, I know that in my travels for journalism things, and I know in your travels too, you've come across some really cool things and some really weird things, and I hope you want to share one that maybe that you have found while filming.
Well, I'll tell you one of the most surprising things that we found while filming, one of the coolest things I've gotten to do on the show is go bungee jumping.
What?
There's a company.
No, thank you.
Oh, it was super exciting. Although I had to do it twice because the first time was not fit for public television.
But
there's this company called Vertigo Bungee, and they bought an old railroad bridge over the Kentucky River in Lawrenceburg. You literally are staring at wild turkey. So they bought this railroad bridge, and 2 times a month for about 6 months out of the year, you can bungee jump off the bridge. So it was really fun.
That is not something that I would be interested in trying, but I would love to see you try it. So I'll have to check out that episode.
Yeah, you can stream it at liquidkentucky.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've had some great people come on the show, a lot of great history. You know, we've paddled beneath High Bridge, past the Dixie Belle. Last week, like I said, we were filming in Bowling Green, and I went to Lost River Cave. So I got to take a boat tour into Lost River Cave, which was super fun. And if you've never been down there, it's a really cool place. It actually was the Cavern Nightclub back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and we had these fantastic big band and swing shows and jazz. Some legendary people mm-hmm. Played in this cavern, and now it's owned by the Friends of Lost River Cave and Western Kentucky University, and they do these great educational tours. So. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I would imagine that you do get to see some real things that you're like, I had no idea this existed in Kentucky, because there is so much. I mean, people don't realize that each, you know, it's a lot of small towns strung together by just a couple highways, but there is so much rich history here, and a lot of people, you know, live here all their lives and really don't understand the opportunities that we have.
Absolutely. And I have crisscrossed the state in the last few years putting these books together. I don't think there's a corner I haven't been to. And we were really hoping that the Emmy will raise awareness about what we're doing and help us to get some underwriting for the show, because we are independently produced. We have to raise all that money to do a show. And KET, their producers and executives have told us that they would love us to make enough episodes that they can submit it to PBS, mm-hmm. which would be our ultimate goal. You know, at the end of the day, it is promoting what we have here in Kentucky and raising awareness of all the cool things, because I'm a huge proponent of building our adventure tourism infrastructure in Kentucky. You know, adventure tourism is the fastest growing segment of the tourism industry, and we have all of the ingredients to be a destination. We just don't promote it, and we lack a little bit of the infrastructure, you know, to give people access to it. But we have all of the same things that all of our neighboring states that make a killing doing it. You know, West mm-hmm. Virginia, you see those national ad campaigns. Tennessee is the same way. It's known as a Mecca, Virginia. We have everything. We just don't tell people we have it.
Mm-hmm. I think the implementation of Kentucky Trail Town System has been has really impacted Moorhead specifically. One morning I was downtown and I was like, where are all these people coming from? And I had no idea, because I'm not a runner, that they were doing the Big Turtle Trail Run, which is a 50-mile run. And I saw all the cars, but I didn't see the people, because they're up in the hills the whole time, these beautiful, wonderful trail systems that we have, and they're hidden. But then when they finished, they had to come into town and get some food and grab some gas. And it really impacts the small towns, even if you don't know locally that it's happening. And it brought in all these people from outside.
Absolutely.
And it makes a huge impact.
Yeah, the Sheltowee Trace Trail is another perfect example of citizens really grabbing a hold of it and saying, hey, we've got this awesome thing and nobody really knows about it. You know, Steve Barber, who's the director of the Sheltowee Trace Association, has probably done more in the last 10 years to get boots on the trail than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that trail was almost lost. We had this national recreation trail and nobody knows it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I served on that board for a long time, and that's what it was about, was getting people out there, boots on the trail, and telling people so that they would tell their friends and they would bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do this hiker challenge every year where you can hike the whole trail over, you know, one weekend a month throughout a year. And it's huge. They've had to add a second weekend and a third weekend, you know, mm-hmm. because you have so many people coming in. And, you know, that's just a perfect example of it spreading like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. It is very unique to Kentucky. The landscape here is beautiful. The you know, especially in this region, we're in the middle of the Daniel Boone National Forest. And what's interesting to me is, like, I went out on the trail on a trail last weekend and didn't see anyone else. It was completely empty. But I know people are hiking in, and I know people are out there. It's just, but we have it in our backyard, and I feel very blessed to have that opportunity.
Yes, that's putting these two books together was such a labor of love because of that, because we have this beautiful landscape, and we're such an odd state in that we're, you know, it takes like 8 hours to get from one side to the other side, and mm-hmm. the landscape changes as you go across. And on a lot of these hikes and paddles, you're right, I didn't see anybody else except whoever I had drug with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that is changing. I mean, 10 years ago, when my husband and I first discovered the hidden grotto there yeah. at Grayson Lake, we would be the only people on the lake in a paddled boat. You know, I drive that way to go to work in Ashland now in the morning. And some mornings it's like torture, because I count, you know, 15, 20 people, you know, in kayaks driving there. And when I cross the bridge on my way home, you know, I can see 15 or 20 people yeah. kayaking. So it's really starting to change. The word's getting out. It's not going to be a secret for too much longer.
Right. Well, that could be partially our fault as well. But we're going to talk a little bit more about your books, but I want to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected. WMKY is live online at wmky.org. Local, state, national news, and archive programs, including Health Matters, Open Mic, Mountain Edition, and The Reader's Notebook. Tell your smart speaker to play Morehead State Public Radio. Download our phone app and follow us on Facebook. Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected to your community. WMKY's live web stream is online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Carrie Stambo, an Elliott County resident, just won an Emmy and is promoting her show Downstream to talk about liquids in Kentucky. And we want to talk a little bit about your new Falcon guides that are out. You have a couple that you've brought me to peruse. I want to keep these. But I will have to go to my local bookstore to pick them up. Hiking Kentucky and Paddling Kentucky. So two things that are very similar. It seems like every trail that I go on in Kentucky is near a creek or a stream or a lake. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, first I want to say that there's a reason every hiking trail is close to waterway. It's because Kentucky has over 90,000 miles of navigable waterways. We have more waterways than any other state except for Alaska.
Wow.
Which is truly, you know, remarkable. And the navigable means that you can move commercial products on it. Mm-hmm. And we all know that we have a lot more waterways that you can't move commercial products on. So,
but you can move
everywhere.
You can move a kayak on those sometimes.
You can on a lot of them. You know, now we were just talking about how we have too much water. Right now we have no water. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there, you know, our flood control lakes are a great place to go right now because you don't have to drag your kayak
through the rock bed.
Yes. There's a lot of that going on right now. A lot of folks, you know, have been bummed that they've been dragging their boats down the middle fork of the Red River through mm-hmm. the gorge because there's no water.
Right. But, you know, we haven't had as much rain this year as we did last year. And although in Morehead we had flooding a month ago, but that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it stays in those small waterways. There's so many creeks and streams. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Hiking Kentucky Guide. You've got 80 of Kentucky's greatest hiking adventures, and this goes over the whole state.
They do. Falcon Guides really likes to have the entire state covered. So we go from east to west, north to south, and we really give people kind of the best of what we have. So we have really some really short walks in the book, a couple, you know, 1.5 mile walks that are accessible to kids, families. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite is in Fort Knox, actually, and you go over these really cool old stone bridges that were made during the Civil War. But then we also have on the other end of the state, you know, a multi-day backpack on the Pine Mountain Trail. So it really does run the full gamut of trails. Of course, you know, my personal favorite is the Four Seas Trail at Carter Caves State Park. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most spectacular trails in the whole state because, you know, you get these great arches, you climb down through one, you're next to a creek the whole time. You know, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's about 8 miles, so it's a great day hike.
Yeah, I have a friend who grew up in Elliott County, lives in Morehead, and she hiked up there last weekend, and she was like, have you been there? Because it's amazing and my new favorite place. But, you know, she grew up in this region, but never realized that she could hike there. So it was pretty exciting for her. I love how this is broken up into sections that you can go, where am I in the state? Okay, I'm in central Kentucky. I'm in northeastern Kentucky. Let's go here. And the Red River Gorge has its own little section, guys, because it's ginormous. There are so many different opportunities there.
It is, and that's been one of the biggest complaints I've had about the book is people want more in the Red River Gorge. They want more in the Red River Gorge. But I'll tell you, the Big South Fork part of the Daniel Boone is probably one of our best-kept secrets. It mm-hmm. is gorgeous, and there's nobody there. It's not like the Gorge.
Yes.
You know,
nobody there yet.
Not yet, but hopefully they will. But we, you know, that landscape we were talking about, the karst landscape with their rock houses and our caves, you know, that's across the whole state. So you really get that same kind of topography in a lot of different places outside the Gorge, and they're not so crowded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're literally loving the Gorge to death. So especially, you know, our Forest Service and our rangers are really encouraging people to discover some other places because we're doing irreparable damage to the Gorge with the number of people who are coming in there. And not all of them are good stewards. They're not practicing their good leave no trace ethics.
Right. Now, hiking trails to me are always of interest. I love the hilly landscape. But are there any that in your travels that you've discovered that are pretty accessible to lots of people? I mean, are there hiking trail opportunities for people like with, I know short ones for young children, but like, do we have any that are accessible to people like in wheelchairs, for example?
The one that I was talking about at Fort Knox, it is. It was an old roadbed, so they've paved it. You know, there is more and more push towards making them accessible for people. There's a few that are coming on board. I think the Buttermilk Falls Trail in West Kentucky is a good one. Kind of put me on the spot there, Leanne. My mind's going blank.
But there is a movement for that.
There is a movement. And a lot of our state parks do have smaller trails that are probably paved, that are easy for folks. You know, you don't have to be young and fit to be able to get out there.
Right. I know that I have parents who are older that enjoy nature, but maybe not a 2-mile hike up a hill. They can't really handle that, but where they might want to go, you know, something that's a little easier to navigate. It's good to have an idea of where those are.
Absolutely. Now, when I do the next edition of the book, that'll be one of the things that we really highlight in that book. This is the third edition, and Falcon Guide will kind of start over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do another book here in a few years, I think.
Great. Now, the Paddle Kentucky, similar idea, hitting all these places for where it's good to go paddling and broken up into easy stuff. We have a ton in eastern Kentucky. I mean, I'm just looking at the table of contents here, and it seems like that's where you are and you know more about that, or are you not sure?
Yes and no. You know, as you go from east to west across the state, you know, in the eastern part, we have more what you would call a creek. You know, we've got these rocky flowing water with the elevation change. And then as you go west, they kind of flatten out and get a little broader. So we have a lot of water in the eastern part of the state for sure. But also, yes, I'm a little biased. You know, I live in East Kentucky, and mm-hmm. I think we're the best part of the state. So I really wanted to highlight that. And a lot of folks, you know, in the paddling community itself that maybe are based in Lexington or Louisville are always asking us questions about where to go in the eastern part of the state because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we have these rivers and lakes, but they weren't accessible. You know, Tigert's Creek that we all know about is probably one of the places that folks in the paddling community are most curious about. They're always asking, how do I get there? When's the best time to go?
It was definitely a well-kept secret for a little while, and just a few years since the boom happened, and it was like everybody's on Tiger Creek, it seems.
It is, I think, one of the most spectacular paddles in the whole state. I mean, you have that gorgeous natural gorge that you go through. You know, it's crystal clear water.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really interruptions in it. You know, you have to, you know, maybe play chicken with a gravel truck at one point. But, you know, that's about it. Otherwise, you have this pristine creek that isn't interrupted, you know. And I'm most excited, too, that's the little Sandy on the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I claim that as my home creek now since I live in Elliott County. So I was excited that we had Eastern Kentucky on the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the hiking guide has Greenbow Lake on the cover. So Eastern Kentucky's well represented.
Yeah.
That was definitely a goal for me.
So you can, from our listeners out there, you can pick up a Falcon Guide at your local bookstore. I know we've got them here at Coffee Tree Books here in Moorhead. And Carrie Stambaugh, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's always nice to see you and wonderful to see you winning Emmys and writing books and doing wonderful things. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
And that's all the time we've got for Open Mic today. We'll see you all next Friday.